It's Sunday, and I'm wearing my itchiest sweater into the cathedral. A parade of strangers smiles awkwardly in a way that matches their vanilla yogurt personalities. One by one, our spines strain against the wooden benches creaking with years of service. The priest, standing above us on an elevated platform, podium to his chest, does his best to transmit warmth to everyone in attendance. He raises his hands in the air, the sleeves of his robe bunching down his forearm. In a gentle baritone, he says, "God is love. God is life. God is a bomb. Tick, tick, tick." It's just hours later and the sun has died for the day. The moon is out and everyone is home because the black sky threatens to pull them into their little bedrooms to sleep. I'm inside my apartment, fiddling with plastic blinds, looking through the smudges on my living room window and into the lonely courtyard. Somewhere out there in a special corner of society awaits one more stop, one more opportunity to find God or redemption. Another view on what it might take to attain a sliver of peace or contentment or forgiveness. Out there is hope. A last chance to outrun the memories of the farm and the gun and the guilt and the uncertainty. I check my phone. Nearly 3 in the morning, which means one thing. It's time. I zip up my black hoodie, move through my 400-square-foot apartment that costs $2,000 a month, look in the bathroom mirror, push the short black hairs off my forehead, comb it high and tight, survey the damage across my face, the deep, blackening circles around the eyes, wrinkles along the forehead that seem more pronounced. It's been 5 days, 5 straight nights. No concentrated sleep, only intermittent naps, nothing more than 15 minutes, maybe less. Check that. 6 straight. My chessboard rests atop a breakfast nook. I move my knight to f6. There is an echo of gratitude when I do this. The chessboard thanks me for the move. I thank it back. One last thing to do. I grab the essential Kierkegaard off my bookcase, open the thick leather-bound book to its hollowed-out pages. A few amber bottles roll out of the cavity and fall to the floor. For a second, I hesitate. I wonder if I can do without them tonight. My self-prescribed cocktail of uppers and downers and other meds. And then I think of the farm. So I grab the 2 I need right now. Adderall, 30 milligrams. 2 Vyvanse, 20 milligrams, delayed release. These are both prescribed for ADHD, but are abused by college students everywhere. They can get you high, but not in a psychedelic, I'm going to listen to the dark side of the moon kind of way. Adderall and Vyvanse, stimulants, will get you high in an I feel great and can stay up all night kind of way. If you do this long enough, the parts of your brain in charge of memory will become damaged. And that's what I want. My keys are in my hands, and my nerves are in my palms. The front door swings open, and the opera of the night cries out to me. It woos me with the falsetto of the stars, the baritone of loneliness. I'm on foot and passing houses and lawns and hybrid cars parked in driveways, lawn signs telling me who to vote for, the live, laugh, love doormats. All the standard markers of suburban life become little dots passing my periphery like I'm in the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon, and I'm pushing it into hyperdrive. Now that I think about it, probably 7 straight days. This is Monterey, California. One freeway stop south is Carmel. 1 5-minute drive west is Pacific Grove. These are the towns for which everyone wishes upon a star. The towns that real estate agents never stop squirting nocturnal emissions over. But for locals, it's a sleepy beach peninsula with 0 industry. An area still clinging to yesterday's greatness, reluctantly accepting tomorrow's hopelessness. No cars congest the road. 12